Hey guys, it's Lena, and it's another Tuesday that I'm excited to be with you. I started this podcast, I don't know, a couple of years ago, and initially we went through some books of the Bible that I was teaching, and when those were done, I've got three studies, it's in Genesis and Luke and in Acts that are available on my website, but when those were done, I decided to start a shorter podcast, about 15 minutes in length, and every week I run a different podcast that I just sit in my house and record, and my hope is that you be stronger because of it, that your faith is strengthened, that your hope in the Lord is expanded, and that if you're seeking the purpose of your life and the truth in this world, that you would find it. I'm praying that as we open God's Word and week after week, that somehow God brings you to this podcast and uses it to just to clear some things up in your life. I am a doctor in my real life work and felt called to teach the Bible about 12 or 13 years ago now. And God has been so good to me. He has allowed me the freedom and the privilege to spend a whole lot of my time writing and teaching God's Word. And I just love doing it. And so I appreciate you guys checking in. Right now we're doing a series called Unshaken, Standing Strong in the Heat of the Battle. And we are going to do another New Testament character from the Bible today. Every week we look at a different person who lived in the biblical days, and we see kind of what they faced, the difficult circumstances, and how they dealt with them. And of course, if you've been listening, you know that the difficult circumstances that they faced are very similar to the ones that you and I face today. And it's kind of crazy that way, how relevant the Bible is to our lives. And today I want to talk about Peter. And I want to look at John 21. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I say this without a joke. This passage of Scripture has strengthened me more than any other chapter, I think, in the last couple of years. And it's mainly because it has to do with Peter after he failed miserably. And I find that despite the many successes that many people see in my life, that I've had some failures, some that are very difficult to face, and some that seem like a bigger deal to me than to others. And it's funny about failure. You can fail or you can feel like a failure. The weight of it is often the same. And people can look at you and tell you that you're not a failure, but if you feel like a failure, I don't know that those words really impact you. There has to be more than that. And I want to show you from John 21 how God used Peter's failure for good. And so I called this lesson Faith When I Feel Like a Failure. And some of you are starting the school season, and I don't know if you've already had a chance to fail, but certainly at the beginning of the year, it's not uncommon to face difficult obstacles, and some of you may be taking classes that you took last year because of the failures, or maybe you're facing some broken dreams and just plans in your life that didn't turn out like you wanted them to, whether it's relationships. In my own life, I've ended two engagements at various times, and had some professional setbacks. And right now, even in ministry, which is the area that I love the most, I've been dealing with some failures, and it hurts. He says, is there hope? Can you stand strong and unshaken despite failures? And I want to tell you, God's Word promises that you can. And look at Peter. He had failed miserably for 3 years. He had walked with Jesus, and he had promised Jesus that he would never fail, that he would stand by him through thick and through thin. And Jesus warned him. He said, Peter, you are going to deny me. Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter said, never. And sure enough, who do you think was right? What Jesus told Peter was the exact truth. And Peter says in the Bible, after he denied him, that he went out and wept bitterly. And he must have been so broken. His best friend and man that he looked up to and considered a Messiah had, first of all, that there was a pain of his being crucified, but now there's also the pain of knowing that he turned his back on him. And that's where we catch Peter in John 21. I mean, he's still broken, and he's so depressed that he was like, I'm going fishing. And what he's saying there is like, I'm going back to my day job. Like, I tried this ministry gig and it didn't work out for me, and I'm giving up on it. I might as well do something that I know how to do. And I have to tell you, I understand him, and I can't tell you how often my friends got sick of me. There was a season in my life where every time something would go wrong in the ministry, I'd threaten that I was going to quit, and it became a habit, and I'm learning to work past that. But here's Peter. We catch him where he's like, I'm going fishing, in John 21, verse 3. Now, the disciples, he was a pretty influential guy, so they all go with him, and they go out fishing, and they catch nothing. That's what John 21, verse 3 says. So it says, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Now, they still didn't know that it was Jesus at that point, but they should have had a clue, because back in Luke chapter 5, the same thing happened. The disciples were out fishing, hadn't caught anything all night, and here's a carpenter, Jesus, comes up, and he's like, hey guys, why don't you try this technique for fishing? And you know, they were incredulous, but they did it, and they caught a bunch of fish. Now, here they are again, same scenario. God uses it again, and I love that the Lord does that. He's not trying to make us stumble. I mean, he's trying to help us. And he's like, okay, we've done this before. Let's try it again. And so they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of the fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciple came in the boat. You know, it goes on and says that they got out on land in verse 9, and they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. And so Jesus already has the fish. I mean, you don't need their fish from the net. Jesus already has food, you know. It's funny, you know, because he goes on in verse 10, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught, which is ironic because he already has the fish on the fire. And Jesus has already done the dirty work. He's skinned the fish and done, you know, all of that. And I hate that part of fishing. I can't even touch the slimy fish. My nephew sometimes will try to talk me into taking the hook out of the mouth whenever he catches a fish, and I won't touch those things. Anyway, Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the nets ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. So remember now, they caught nothing. They had been fishing all night. Jesus shows up, put it on the other side. He catches 153 fish. It says, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. I love that. Don't you love it? Here are these men. They're beaten up. They're discouraged. They don't quite know yet. They think this is Jesus, and they're waiting for the lashing. Like, you guys failed me. I can't believe you did this. They're waiting for the guilt. And so many of us are so good at guilt in our Christian walk, but that's not Christ's way with us, is it? Christ says there's no, or Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 1, it says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And Jesus' approach to the disciples so gentle. He cooks for them. And he asks them to sit down with him for breakfast. And then they knew it was the Lord. It says Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. And verse 15, it says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, the son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter, it says in the Bible, was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. And after saying this, he said to them, follow me. And there's just so much that can be taught on this. I've actually taught on this chapter a lot in the last couple of years. But I just want to bring out four points about failure. And remember, our topic is faith when I feel like a failure. So if that's you today, I want to tell you, number one, that your failure is your pathway to unbelievable breakthrough. See, what you look at your life right now and what you see as the worst thing that could happen to you could actually be the breakthrough that you've been waiting for and praying for. And, man, I'm speaking to myself even now. I'm teaching this to you, and I'm really teaching it to myself. I just got some news today that I didn't really want to hear, and the knee-jerk response for us is to lose hope. And instead, I think about those disciples who caught nothing overnight, and I thought about this, and I thought, what if they had caught 30 fish or 40 fish that night? And Jesus would have shown up and said, hey guys, have you caught anything? What if they had? They would have said to Jesus, oh yeah, we're good. We caught about 30 fish here. All good. Thanks, sir, pal, bud, whatever. They didn't know who he was. But it was because they had nothing in their nets that they were willing to say, no, we got nothing. And it was their utter inadequacy that allowed Christ to step in and say, now put your net on the other side. And they didn't have any problem doing that because they knew that on their own they could do nothing. And I find that in life we often have to get to the weakest place in our lives in order for Christ to step in and take over. Because until then, we're trying to do it on our own. And God has to often get us on our faces, flat on our faces. See, our inadequacy is the key to our dependence on the Lord. And so maybe that's you today. You're used to doing things on your own. You're used to being strong enough and resourced enough. And if you can't find a way, if you don't see a way, you're going to find a way. Maybe that's you. You've been taught to just pull yourself by the bootstraps and make something happen and talk yourself out of the mess you're in. And you know, there comes a point in life where you cannot do that anymore. And when you get to that place, that's when Jesus can finally step in and say, now watch. 153 fish were caught that day. If you're at the end of yourself in a place of failure, it could be the beginning of a breakthrough for you. Number two, your failure is your pathway to deeper passion. Do you remember asking the Lord at one point in your life? I've done that, where you come to Him and say, God, I want to love you more. I want a deeper relationship with you. I want more intimacy. I can't tell you how often people email me and say, what are the keys to the intimacy with the Lord? I want to sense Him more. I want to love Him more. And for Peter, it was his defeat. It was his failure that got him to the place where he could have this conversation with Jesus, where Jesus says, Simon, do you love me? And three times Jesus said, Simon, do you love me? Searching the innermost heart of Peter. And each time Peter had to dig deeper and say, Christ, I didn't do the things that I said I would do. I couldn't deliver, but you know how much I love you. And Christ already knew that. It wasn't news to Jesus, but Jesus was refocusing Peter. He was retaking his face and putting his eyes on the goal and on the thing that was most important. If you love me, then out of the overflow of that love, now you go out and feed my sheep. And I love the third point, which is your failure is your pathway to maximum usefulness. So your failure is not just a pathway to unbelievable breakthrough and deeper passion, but also to maximum usefulness. See, we would have counted Peter out. We would count ourselves out. We come to Jesus with a bag of failure and we think, it's over. I can't anymore teach the Bible or lead this Bible study. What I'm going to do now is usher or greet at church because I've been demoted because I didn't stand up for Jesus when I was supposed to. And that's how our human brains work. But see, God is grace. God is mercy and God is love. And I'm constantly astounded by that because here Christ sits Peter down. And the lesson is made, and Peter never again in his life denied the Lord. I mean, it was like, done. We've learned that. We're moving on. But Jesus never said to him, Peter, now you go to the end of the line and put your time in before you prove to me that you can do this. No, Jesus in his grace says, you're going to go feed my sheep. In fact, it was a page later in the Bible when Peter gets filled with the Spirit and preaches at Pentecost and 3,000 people get saved. See, God doesn't count you out because of your failures. We count ourselves out. But God has a bigger plan and a better plan. And often your failure is the very pathway to maximum usefulness. Because that's when you get out of the way and you say, I've already tried doing it and I can't. And so your inability paves the way for God to do His best work through you. And then number four, your failure is your pathway to your very own story. I just want to add one more final thought on this. Because so many of us are so obsessed with other people's story. Peter has just had this incredible encounter with Jesus. I mean, picture the end of a service. There's an invitation. The songs are being sung. People are feeling just so close to the Lord. You're not supposed to talk during that time. That's where we're at now with Jesus and Peter. When I finished reading those verses a few minutes ago. Then you get to verse 20. And in this moment where it's like beautiful music playing and, you know, Peter's up at the altar having his moment with Jesus. And then Peter looks around. It says in verse 20, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. And by the way, the minute you take your eyes off Jesus and fix them on other people, you're in trouble already. And Peter says, he turned and saw the disciple, the one who had been reclining at table close to him and had said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? Maybe Peter had a little seed of jealousy. We don't know. But he looked at him and when Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? And here's what Jesus said. He says, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. This might be a word for someone today. Your failure is your pathway to your very own story. It doesn't matter what God is doing in that ministry over there. It doesn't matter what God is doing in that couple over there. It doesn't matter what God's doing in that church over there. It doesn't matter what God is doing in that country over there. Your life is here, right before your very eyes. You keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, and you start to understand that faith is possible when you feel like a failure, and it happens when you trust the Lord in your deepest weaknesses. Your failure is your pathway to unbelievable breakthrough. It is your pathway to deeper passion. to maximum usefulness and to your very own story. So what's your story, my friend? What kind of story is God weaving through your failure? And if you haven't gotten there yet, then may today be the day where you'd say to the Lord, God, I love you. I failed you, but I love you, and I'm thankful for second chances. Listen, it's another Tuesday. We're coming to the end of the podcast. Email me if you would like me to pray with you, and have yourself a great, great week. We'll catch back up again next week. If you need more encouragement over the course of the next week, check out the Bible study resources on my website, livingwithpower.org. And as always, I'm here to serve you, and I just want you to know that God loves you. Have a great week.